mothers, grandmothers, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your children and grandchildren see the impact of God in your life. And bring them up. And be grateful. And show them this is the Lord's working.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. And happy Mother's Day. It's Sunday, May 14th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Building a Legacy. And our text is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So today is Mother's Day, and I have been saying something about mothers for somewhat 40 years. And I was wondering what I could possibly bring, and that would be different from what I've done before. And then I was reminded that you don't remember anything I say from one Sunday to the next. And so I said, why should I really sweat it out? But I'm not. So I like for us to look at the influence of mothers in the life of the church. I think you'll understand what I'm going to do and what I'm going to say when we read 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It speaks about two generations that were very powerfully invested in the third generation. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, as we see it in the screen, you find that it says, verse 5, not verse 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith to Timothy, which first lived in who? Whoa. And in your who?
Mother.
And I am now persuaded, now lives in you also. The transmission of the faith, the connectedness of faith, the influence of grandmother, mother, and a son. May God bless the reading of his word. Timothy was going through some hard times. And we all go through hard times in life. And he was being questioned as to if he really was a minister of the gospel, if he really had what it took to do the job, the task of pastoring. And Paul, through this passage from verses 1 through 7, tells him three things. The first one, he says to him, look, I have a lot of confidence in you. And there's nothing more important than to be inspired by someone who has confidence in you. Has anybody ever said to you, I believe in you? And when someone believes in you, all of a sudden, everything changes? Because often the accuser of the brethren tells us that nobody really cares for us. And there is an accusation of incompetence, an accusation of lovelessness, an accusation of worthlessness. And when you keep on hearing those voices, you kind of begin to believe it. But Paul tells Timothy, I want you to know, I believe in you. And the Lord wants to say that to you and to me today, that there are people around you that believe in you, and it's a voice you should pay attention to. And it's an amazing consequence that when we believe in the Lord, there are people around us that also believe in the Lord and supports us. So Timothy had a group of people that believed in him, and Paul was one of them. When someone is doing something wrong, the worst thing you can do is to threaten them. The best thing you and I can do is to simply let them know that we love them in spite of their failings and in spite of the issues that they're facing and in spite of the difficulties and in spite of things that can go wrong in life. So there was an encouragement. Then he reminds him of his family tradition. This is Mother's Day. Look at the impact that a grandmother and a mother had on Timothy. Timothy had a great heritage. Where did he get that heritage? From his family. He did not manufacture it. He didn't put it together himself. He didn't buy it. He didn't invent it. It was there for him. It was built. There was a platform. And I'm telling you, it is so important to establish that. We'll talk about that in a minute. To have a heritage, to have a background on Christian faith and commitment. And, of course, what Paul is telling Timothy is if you fail, if you don't make it right, you will disappoint people who believe in you. But in this case, you will also damage your family's reputation. Because your family is known for believing and trusting God. When do you believe and trust God? When everything is right? No. When everything goes wrong. That's it. When everything is upside down, you still trust God. That's the lesson. And the dishonoring the family was something that could not be tolerated. And so Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you know, you should thank God that you have a background, a mother and a grandmother. That doesn't mention the father. That's another message. That's for Father's Day. But it says clearly that this is something you should honor and not dishonor. And then there's the third one. He reminds them that he has been set apart for office by the gift that was conferred upon him, playing out of hands, and it entered into service, and there was an association that you could work for the glory of God. And knowing that anything that you and I do for God, we don't do it on our own, but there is a background, there's a scenery. There's a support system. There's more than just you. You're not alone. Let me get back to the family tradition, because I think that's what we really need to hear today. Let me ask you a very direct question. What is your family tradition? So my best guess, based on this verse 5, is that mothers have a great responsibility in setting the course of tradition. From the very beginning, the child winds up in your arms, 1 year old. And if everything goes well, by the time you're 18, he will no longer be in your arms. But you set the tradition of love and care, concern. Again, who sets the tradition? I really believe it's a combination of things, but it starts with answering one question. And I'm going to ask you mothers this one question. Where is the Lord in your tradition? Tradition, what you do. What is normal? What comes natural? If I were to ask what is a traditional American pastime, call it baseball, call it football, whatever sport, and what goes along with that? Well, barbecue, hamburgers, and hot dog, you know, it's a tradition. And some of you guys who still got some issues going on, the beer, you know. I say issues because it's problematic at times. So what do you do as a Christian? Where is the Lord involved in your everyday traditions, everyday exercises? I believe that there are three very basic commitments that mothers should have inculcated or placed or insist and push for. And those three are very, very simple, but very, very programmatic. Once you enter into that dimension, you begin to establish a tradition. an ongoing thing. It's what we do. First thing, prayer. You should teach your children how to pray. It's already 1 year old. Start already. You start from the very beginning. Praying is the key in understanding God's providence in your life, that you're not alone. And your children need to know that there is a God, an almighty God, and that he's not a figment of your imagination, but that he is very much real. And you need to understand that prayer is the way you access God's presence in your life and you communicate with him. So, mothers, do you have... I don't like to use the word, but I'll use it. Do you have a devotional time with your children? Formal or informal? See, do you gather your kids, say, come on, kids, let's pray? I do that with my grandkids when they spend the night over. No, none of us go to sleep unless they all jump on top of my bed and get the Bible, and I have one read and the other one read, and then this one prays and this other one prays, and one of them actually prays the same thing the other one prayed. That's their life. And they do that. So let me ask you, do you have a family altar? Do you have a time of prayer? And then you ask me why things go wrong. And then you ask me why things are not right. Doesn't have to be a theological treatise. Does not have to have crazy theological jargon, words. The simplicity of saying, Lord, I'm here. Help. Help Ruth. Help Mike. Help the, just prayer. Very small. Doesn't have to be long. With the kids, I can't do long. Are you kidding? When the three of them pray, though one of them is getting older, but that's another story altogether. When they all pray, I think the whole exercise from reading the scriptures to praying maybe takes, 10 minutes? But it's a tradition that's being established. It is a step in the right direction. And I want you to know that who pushed this to happen with the grandkids was the grandmother. Mothers, grandmothers, you have an awesome responsibility and an opportunity to establish prayer with your children and your grandchildren. The second thing, if the first one is prayer, is very basic, is coming to church. Because your faith is expressed in community. It is never in isolation. It's always with other people. And the reason for that is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The three in one, one in three. There's a relationship there. And God calls us to relationship. And in our home, ever since I can remember, going to church wasn't an option. It was a tradition in the right sense of the word. That's what we did on Sunday morning. And in those days, it was Sunday morning and Sunday night. And in those days, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Friday. It was wonderful. That was our circle of influence. That was our community. And so we grew up with people who believed in the Lord, who exalted the name of the Lord. There was no room for gangs. There was no room for this. There was no room for that. Why? Because the Lord occupied that space. It was part of our tradition. Someone can always go astray. Don't misunderstand me. Some of them can you can do everything you can, and they walk away. Well, that's on them. But on you, you set the tone and the tradition of prayer and community. Coming to church. You know, we only get, 45 minutes a week with your children when you come to church on Sunday morning? How many hours do they get in the school system? Crazy school system. Deviant school system. I could say other things, but I'll refrain from saying that there are more demons in school today than I think that there are going to be in a place that I don't want to mention. The corruption. Imagine telling a child, well, you don't have to be a man. You a boy, you can be a girl if you want to. Who in the world? Where is that coming from? God made you and gave you a physical body, and that is your gender, and that's the end of the argument. That's what you learn in church. That's what you learn in the Word of God. But in the world, it's crazy. Well, we don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody either. But we want to stand on what we believe. We establish a tradition. This is what we believe. And we bring children to church. Amen. And then there's a third thing. That I remember you doing this, Hermana Mesa. I remember your husband as pastor. And I remember La Iglesia Panamericana. And I remember many churches. I remember when I was a little kid as well, that one thing that happened all the time, when offering came, my mother gave me a dollar. And I would take that dollar and I would put it in the offering plate. You teach children to give.
Amen.
You teach them that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So where's your tradition? Where's your family tradition? Please don't be a consumer Christian. You need to be a participant. You need to be part of. You need to contribute to. You need to come and say, I am here to sing to God, to bless his name for the things he has done. I am here to share my exploits with the Lord in the community that God has called me to. And I'm here to give him of my wonderful blessings.
Amen.
Mothers, you set the tone. Dads, I'll get you next month. But mothers, you set the tone.
Amen.
You set the tone.
That's right.
When you don't set the tone, you don't set the tone. And when you don't set the tone, then your tone. And when you're tone, you're tone. So those are the most simple and most elemental exercises of a tradition. Nothing gets lower than that, you know, like prayer. Yeah. I mean, it's so basic. Coming to church, being with kids that know the Lord and being with people that know the Lord, community, that is so basic. Giving, that is so absolutely basic. And I'm telling you, if you're having trouble with any one of those three, you're in trouble. And you're being deceived. So once we do those three, we begin to open ourselves up to the other avenues of grace. By that I mean other ways in which God can speak to our hearts. We've been in Colossians, haven't we? Yes, we have. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And it is when you pray and you have community and you're giving that God begins to work in your life and in your heart, and you open yourself to ways in which you can express not the earthly things, but our minds being set on heavenly things.
Amen.
In the things that are above, not below. That's when all of a sudden we say, you know, there must be more to God than just this. Lord, how can I get closer to you? Because the Lord says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. All of a sudden, we find out that Christian faith is not really automatic. That it takes activity. It takes action. It takes a level of commitment and effort to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. it doesn't come automatically. You know, I love my Bible, and I often have said to the Lord, Lord, I wish every word here would be in my mind, so I'm going to go to bed tonight and sleep, and I'm going to put it like that. And through osmosis, it's going to filter down, you know. It doesn't happen that way. It takes action from you. It takes a willingness to seek him while he still can be sought. And when you begin to set your minds on things, some of us say, Lord, how can I think differently? How can I grow in grace? You know, grace is a lot more than just, you know, the undeserved favor that everybody talks about. Grace is the ability to do what you can't do without God. Grace gives you the ability to do the things you can't do yourself. So it's a lot more than just getting saved. Listening to a preaching the other day, saying that this is one of the biggest errors of our churches today, in that we preach a gospel that only has to do with management of sin management. And we come to church and we say, I want to get saved. What do you mean by that? Well, I don't want to go to hell. I mean, who wants to go there? I mean, nobody wants to go to hell. So, I tell you what, I'm going to give my heart to Christ. And that means that he paid my sins. And when I die, I go to heaven, correct? I said, that's absolutely correct. Whew, wonderful. Oh, Lord, come to my life. I'm done. Now I can live like, you know, the devil and still make it. But that's not the Christian life. I won't dare to say that you may not be saved, because it's not up to me to say that. But I'm telling you, it's inconsistent, because the scriptures say something completely different. It says that we have died to the world and become alive unto God. And that there's a transition from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And we enter into a relationship with the Lord so that every single day of our life we live by grace, enabling us to do things we could not do by ourselves. And every day we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's tradition. So, you know, your children go through hard times. You bring them together. Remember when we used to pray when we were kids? Yeah. Just pray again. And you pray with them. And you set a pattern that they can follow. And when they leave your home, they're married, they form, they have their own children, you pray they'll follow the same pattern, because the pattern has worked for you. Their tradition is part of who you are. And we move on. And it's not a religious tradition. It is a tradition of relationship with God. So you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm facing some issues in my life. But more than anything else, Lord, I don't come to you because I'm facing issues. I come to you because I want to get to know you better and live a life that is constructive. So many things we can say here. For instance, we don't talk enough about it. You know, we cannot skip the idea of dying, but dying is a wonderful thing, because we leave this world and we go into the next seamlessly. Jesus said that those who believe in him will never see death. Somebody said that when you die, you won't even know you died. You know, Mike, our brother, your husband's sister, the oldest mother in the building. When he closed his eyes for the last time, he woke up and said, what am I doing here? Presence of the Lord. Because those who believe in him, enter, they will never see death. You never see death. And the life that the Lord gives to you now is eternal, forever. You will never cease to be who you are, but you can take advantage of God's life right now by setting the traditions of prayer, of community, of giving, of pushing forward, of understanding God, and live a life of victory and triumph.
Hallelujah.
Mothers, you set the tone for your children.
Amen.
You really do. Tell you, it's unbelievable to know how much God can do. And Timothy was under the influence of a godly mother and a godly grandmother. We could talk about grandmothers. I came to know the Lord through my grandmother. Not that my mother was not available, but it was my grandmother that led me to the Lord in a very unusual, uncanny way. We were, of course, I was born in Argentina. It was spring of sorts, and I like to eat little small apples, and I was 5 years old, and I was with grandma, and grandma said to me, "Would you like an apple?" I said, "Yeah." And so for me, that apple tree was huge. Turned out to be it was very small. But for me, it was very, very big. And I pulled an apple, and I was eating the apple. And my grandmother would read to me stories of the Bible. Stories. And at that moment, I said, you know, I think I understand. I want to follow the Lord. Can the Lord come to me? Can I be one of his servants? 5 years old, and my grandmother was sufficiently wise to know that those are the moments of revelation, that those are the moments of history. History is being made. When a child asks a question that is so pertinent and so powerful that you can simply say, "Of course you can." Or you could say, "Oh, shut up. Who you know what you're talking about? When you grow up, we'll talk about that." No. She says, "Of course." I remember her embrace, her hugging, her prayer, her smile, and she never smiled. My grandmother never smiled. I love my grandmother, but she never smiled. She was English, Welsh. Ouch. I know, I got friends. But she was very firm. Everything was serious. And missionaries and from England to she went first to from England to Peru, and then from Peru she went into Argentina, and some months afterwards met my grandfather, got married, and I was the first grandson. And she led me to the Lord in my own understanding. She didn't put me down. I remember that right now. I see the picture. Your grandkids need to see Jesus. And for you to love them and show them, it is possible for the youngest in your life, in your family, to come to that. So that's important. That God lays a foundation. That God sets your children up so that you can help them discover God. And when kids come in your life, your children come. Mothers, listen, be attentive. Grandmothers. Sometimes grandmothers have double duty. That's part of life. I cannot stress this enough, that God is moving in your family, and you need to respect God's move in your family, and you need to lay down a tradition. Mm-hmm. You need to lay down a path. You need to lay down the way in which God comes to you and shows up in your life. And, you know, with mothers, my goodness, grandmothers and mothers and I sometimes often felt that God needed a policewoman. And so he invented my mother. And some of the things I was going to say are things you never know, want to know about your mother. You know, but she was stern, strong-willed. Oh, my goodness. Poor dad. Oh, my goodness. Got along very well. And there's one thing many things, but one thing that I will never forget, on my 16th birthday, she gave me a gift, and I know I have it somewhere in here, a Bible in Spanish. And the words are, Enrique, let the words of this book be the guide for all of your life.
Hallelujah.
It has happened that way. It was the influence of a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Tradition.
Hallelujah.
I had the privilege of getting cataract surgery some months ago. You'll go through that, Mike. I hope to live and be around when that happens to you. You look too happy today. And the surgeon, very capable lady, she said, "Oh yes," he said, "Oh, everything's well." He says, "Yeah. Well, you know, my father was a surgeon. My brother is a surgeon. My uncle is a surgeon. Everybody was a surgeon. They passed it on." We pass on the Lord Jesus from one generation to the other generation.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
It's what happens. This surgeon happens to also be a Christian. And we talked a little bit about the Lord and the wonderful things that God has created. But what I'm saying is that you pass on.
Yes.
You pass on. You pass on your physical genes and your spiritual genes. I need to come to an end. So in chapter 3 of Colossians again, verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That ought to be the final word on the traditions that you put together. The traditions of your family, mothers, grandmothers, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let your children and grandchildren see the impact of God in your life. And bring them up. And be grateful. And show them this is the Lord's working. This is how God works and how God processes life. Some of you may be kind of disappointed this Sunday morning, maybe because not all your children are following the Lord, or maybe your grandchildren are not. But that's on them. Because they're going to reach a time in their lives when they will say yes or no. Your responsibility is to reach them before they reach that time. And for them to have the options. You know, God never takes away our freedom of choice. God did not create us so that we will obey him blindly. God loves us and made us in his image, and he wants us to follow him because we love him as well. Willingly choose God.
Amen.
We talked about that last Sunday about the Garden of Eden. How, you know, when Adam and Eve had done their deed, you know, and God was walking in the garden taking a stroll. Oh, gee whiz. Everything is great. Everything is wonderful. And he says, "Hey, where are you, Adam? Where are you? And where art thou?" You know, and some people say, "Of course, God knew exactly what was going on." Well, I'm not too sure, because God put distance and gave them authority and gave them freedom to be themselves and to make choices by themselves without God intervening in their choice process. Free will is a very powerful, powerful, powerful. We're the only ones with free will, to the point that we can say no to God and God doesn't do anything about it now. And I think some of us believe that God did not want to know what they were doing. You wanted to discover that. It's whatever. Theological. Don't worry about it. All I can tell you is that they made a choice. And they paid for that choice. And they were in the perfect environment. Garden of Eden, the perfect environment. And yet they made a choice against God. So mothers, grandmothers, I mean, you're not perfect. You may not be the perfect environment. You're as perfect as it can ever get. But even if in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve could turn their backs on God, understand that those things sometimes happens in your life and in your family. Don't think you are a failure. Just know that there's free will and that they're always wanting and willing to come back. You do what you can in establishing the traditions of God's word in your life, of prayer. And leave the Lord to take care of it. And God gives us that freedom. And all of you, you know, all of you who know the Lord and walked away from the Lord or came to Sunday school and then walked away from God, and you think you can do it? How is life doing anyway? You can come back to the Lord. You can come back and say, Lord, I made foolish choices in my life. He'll take your back right back in. Because he does not want anybody to perish. Amen. But God doesn't look over you like that. What's this guy doing? Oh, my God. No. He loves you. Eternally. And all you have to do is come back to him. And as you repent and come back to him on this Mother's Day, say, you know, Mother was wiser than what I thought. You know, sometimes you have to eat crow. Sometimes you have to come to a place that, you know what, they were right and that was wrong. And it applies not only to our grandkids and our children, it applies to so many other things like our marriages. You think your marriage can work without the Lord? Boy, do I have a sermon for both of you on Hawaii. She just woke up. But it's the truth. And when you do whatever you want to do, God doesn't. It's okay. Pues si quieres hacer eso, pues hazlo. Ándale pues. A ver qué pasa. And from a distance, until you say, I've been a fool. And here I am eating with pigs in a stall. And the food that pigs eat, I can't even get to them. And the prodigal son, you know what? I'm gonna turn around. I'm gonna go to my father's house because there they have something to eat. I'm gonna go and say, Lord, Father, forgive me because I sinned against you in heaven. Make me one of your journeys. And when he began to go towards the house of the father was looking for him. He had a tradition that he abandoned because he thought he knew better. Boy, isn't that a familiar story? They know better, don't they? When they were arguing with my mother, but it was not just me. It was my brother as well and my sister. And we would keep telling Mother, Mother, you just don't understand. Remember this story? You don't understand. And so Mother was puzzled. You don't understand, Mother. And then she finally came with the answer, and she said, I don't know how such a stupid mother could have such smart kids. I remember that day. You know, there are little pictures you remember about your mother, don't you? That's number one. Forget it. But this is the truth. And so the prodigal son comes back, and the father receives him openly, embraces him, restores him to full fellowship. There was a tradition set, and it was broken. But then the prodigal son comes back. And you can come back today in your heart, in your mind, and you can say, Lord, I have done wrong. I have made the wrong choice. I have abandoned the tradition of my mother and my grandmother, my family. But, Lord, in my heart today, I'm turning back to you. You can look at your marriage and say, Lord, I thought I could do it on my own, but now, Lord, I'm going back to you because this is not working. And whatever situation you find yourself, there's always the Lord will always receive you with open arms because he loves you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. The Lord did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And everlasting life begins right now. You and I need to make some commitments in our hearts and lives. Those who are young with a family, establish a tradition of faith. Make sure you do that. Do that, I mean, immediately. A tradition that prays, has community, and they learn how to give. Because you don't ever want to be a consumer believer. I go to church to consume, see what I can get out of it, what I can get out of it. No, you come to see what you can put into it. And that's why we say when we come to church, we come to worship him, which means we sing to him. And we sing to him and we give him accolades. We thank him for all the blessings he has given us. We come to thank him and we come to sing to him. Okay. So whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. What a tradition to establish. Write it down today. May, what's today? May what? 14. Muchas gracias. 14 de mayo se establece la nueva tradición en la familia. Hallelujah. We establish that tradition. It's sitting down. Write it somewhere in the Bible. In somewhere. And do that for your well-being and for the glory of the Lord. Can I hear an amen of some sort?
Amen.
God's good. God's good. So let us pray. Lord, I thank you that there are people here in this building that love us and have confidence in us. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration that we receive from people who believe in us. Lord, I thank you that you have set us apart for an office and a ministry that was conferred upon us by you. But Lord, today we want to be reminded of our family tradition. How Timothy was in the midst of a very difficult time, and yet his heritage held him. He was not going to fail because he had a construct. He had a tradition, a fallback, which was a commitment to prayer, a commitment to community, a commitment to giving, that it wasn't just coming to get in church, but coming to give. So, Lord, I thank you on this Mother's Day. I thank you for every mother in our church. I thank you for every child in our church, every grandmother, every grandkid, and help us to be everything we need to be. Give us the courage to establish and anchor traditions that honor your name so that anything and everything we do in word or deed, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
We worship you. We worship you.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Exalted Lord, we bow before your throne. We worship you. We worship you. Lift our voice to make your glory known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. you, declaring that you reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give glory and honor to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, declaring that you exalt you, declaring that you reign.
Amen.
So the reigning of God's kingdom in your life and my life is that in everything we do in word and deed, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He reigns there in everything we do, especially tomorrow Monday when you go to work, because that's where we really see Christ alive in you. This is easy. It's in the workplace that you need to show that he reigns in your life. Stop preaching. This is the day that the Lord has made. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Celebrate Mother's Day today. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our Facebook page or go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.